There's a fascinating line in the book of Revelation. It comes from the section where the Lord is speaking to the seven churches. And to one of the seven churches, he says this: I know your works. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now we can understand hot to mean burning with love for God, strongly committed to the will of God. Then cold means strongly opposed to God, always challenging his will. And then lukewarm means indifferent to God, paying little attention to him and his will, not really caring very much. And this is the surprise. We would think that it's better to be a little bit good, to be lukewarm, than to be directly and strongly opposed to God. But the Lord says, I wish you were either cold or hot, not lukewarm. According to the footnote, the little explanation in my Bible, it says, half-hearted commitment to the faith is nauseating to Christ. Now, we can make sense of this if we apply it to our own human relationships. Do we want our spouse, our children, our loved ones to love us warmly or to be indifferent to us? Well, we don't want them to be indifferent. In fact, we would rather that if they have something to say against us, that they say it to our face, that they be open with us and direct. We don't want people to be lukewarm, and neither does the Lord. So this is the principle that the Lord sets before us in the book of Revelation. He wants us to be hot. And if we're not hot, well, we're better off cold. The worst option is to be lukewarm, wishy-washy, indifferent, non-committal, bland. Now, we shouldn't misunderstand this to mean that if we can't be an angel, we should be a demon. That's not what it means. He's not saying that we should give up on being holy, that we should dedicate ourselves to sin. But he is saying that it's better to be decisive, to be committed, to be moving toward a goal, even if we're wrong, than to simply sit around without any purpose or direction. Now, why do I talk about this? Because this principle can help us as we ponder today's gospel, which is the beginning of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, the eight Beatitudes. They're familiar to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers, etc. Here, Jesus tells us in a very brief summary what it takes for us to be hot, and the great reward that he promises to those who are hot. Blessed, after all, means favored. It means rewarded, enriched, fulfilled, happy. It's a great thing to be blessed. This is what we want. We want to be blessed. We want to be blessed by the Lord. We want to be eternally blessed by the Lord. Well, how do we do it? How do we get this condition? Well, this is where the challenge comes in. It turns out that the way to be blessed is exactly the opposite of what we normally think. Certainly the opposite of what the world says to us every day, but also the opposite of our natural way of thinking. We tend to think that the way to be blessed is to seek blessings, to seek earthly blessings. So that the way to be rich is to be rich, to gather and possess many things. And the way to be satisfied is to fill ourselves with food and with drink and with all kinds of pleasures. And the way to be happy is to be popular and successful and powerful. That's what we think, but we're wrong. And the world is wrong. Jesus says that the way to this lasting blessed condition that we long for is actually to be poor in spirit, to be empty of self-love, to be hungry and thirsty for his ways, for his righteousness. That's what he says. And the most challenging of all, we're better off persecuted, insulted, hated for being one of his disciples. We're better off. This is what he says. And when that happens, he says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. But the question becomes, are we willing and ready to choose such a contradictory path so that we will have great reward in heaven? Or do we reject this plan of Jesus and choose earthly happiness now as much as we can get? It's a challenging question, and Jesus deliberately makes it challenging. Now, if we look around, and especially if we look into our own hearts, we can see what happens. We're hesitant to make that choice. Our nature is naturally resistant to making the choice of poverty and mourning and persecution. It just sounds terrible to us. It just sounds too costly. But we don't want to offend God either. We don't want to cut ourselves off from God's blessings. We don't want to say no to him. So we try to manage a kind of middle way. We tried to be just good enough. In other words, we're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. The call of Jesus is challenging. The gospel is challenging. There's no way to avoid it. It's a call to follow a master who goes to his death in obedience to the Father and who rises again on the third day. Now, we love the rising part, but this cross part is what intimidates us. And there are two main ways of avoiding the challenge of the gospel. One way is to simply reject it straight out. Say, it's too difficult, it's too unrealistic, it's too unreasonable, I don't want it. But that's not the way most people choose. Certainly no one who comes to Mass on Sunday is saying, I don't want anything to do with that. We're not saying a flat-out no to God. We're not cold. But the other way of keeping this challenge at a distance, of avoiding the challenge of the gospel, is to treat God as someone vaguely familiar, but not too close. God is good, but not a very big factor in our daily life. Mostly irrelevant. And the Christian life is a pretty good idea. It's a nice way to live. It's not too challenging. It's kind of a religious way of describing what ordinary good people do anyway. You know, be kind to others, be honest, be generous, be a good person. In other words, we tend to be lukewarm. And this is the problem. Jesus teaches us these beatitudes. And by presenting this challenge to us, he's not simply suggesting these. He's not posting them on his social media and saying, here's some nice ideas. You've probably heard of that popular meme that says the Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. Well, the eight Beatitudes are not eight suggestions. They reveal the genuine path to lasting happiness, to true beatitude and true blessedness. And it's a great treasure to have this wisdom given to us for free, like this, just summed up and printed out. It's the wisdom presented here is that lasting happiness is really available to us. It's really what God wants for us, but it is costly. It's not forced on us. We have to choose to be blessed. We have to choose the way of God. We have to agree with him. And that means being hot. It means being committed. It means persevering in pursuit of righteousness, even when it's difficult and even when people oppose us. It means being willing to put the good of others ahead of our own preferences. Yes, it means being willing to empty ourselves now with confidence that God will provide, now and in the future. It means being humble enough to recognize that we don't make all the rules ourselves, that we don't determine our own reward and our own way to get there. That's God's business, and He's very generous in showing us the way. He even came down from heaven to earth as a man to show us the way. And it means living as children of God, believing in God, relying on God, calling on God always in prayer, following Him, not our own will, serving Him, not ourselves. It's a treasure to be shown this way. That's what I want to emphasize. And the right response to being shown the way of the Beatitudes is to follow them with our whole heart. So don't be lukewarm. That's not love. Lukewarmness is not love, and it doesn't lead to lasting happiness. Be a committed, persevering lover of God. Blessed will you be, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.